Time now to catch up with Jeff from Silawan. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
And what's happening, mate?
Yeah, beautiful day here at the vineyard. It's spring's trying to push its way through, Peter.
Oh, well, keep shoving.
Yeah, the fruit trees, of course, started about a month ago. Yeah. The early fruit trees, the stone fruit trees are the ones that usually go first. Right. Although that's not necessarily always true. The apples go very early as well. So, but they're a cold climate type fruit as well, of course. And being grown up around Batelow and Tumbarumba and that in southern New South Wales, up in the hills, so... it's a good apple area, but won't be long, Peter. We've well past the equinox, so heading definitely towards the first day of spring.
Spring is in the air, and did you notice the forecast of recent days? Where apparently we're going to have a cold snap or two. Very interesting.
Well, I hope so, because we haven't finished our pruning yet, so we've got to get ourselves cranked up. So,
all right, yeah. Okay.
So, anyway, that's what's going on at the vineyard, Peter, and what's going on in the world, of course, is unfortunately more of the same.
Yeah, I see where the government apparently has signed a contract, agreement, whatever, for us to get this vaccine when it arrives.
Well, from the UK, is that the one, the Oxford one?
I think
one?
So, yes, I think so.
Yeah, I thought, I'm not sure what's happening to our own. We've got one under development up in Queensland, which I thought was in phase three testing at the moment. But
right.
Who knows, maybe this one, the Oxford one, will be ready sooner, and whatever they're doing in Australia will come at some other date. So,
right, what the Prime Minister said was that they're going to sign agreement to get enough for everyone. Everyone will get a free shot. But I noticed this morning they're already starting. What about the anti-vaxxers? And
we don't need
that rubbish.
Well, of course, they protect themselves by the fact that 99% of the other people vaccinate.
Yeah.
If they didn't, then, of course, those that don't vaccinate are going to get it just like everybody else does. So, but that's they have the herd immunity syndrome going for them. So, but it's a no-brainer. How many hundreds of billions have they spent already, Peter? So put out a few hundred million for the vaccines is a no-brainer. I mean, let's face it.
A million or billion?
Billions, hundreds of billions they've wasted on, these various things that they're doing here. I mean, as we've said many, many, many times, Peter, if they had spent more money on testing and tracing, we wouldn't be in this mess. And that's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
They have no alternative now, Peter, but to test and trace. And then, we had two cases the other day in New South Wales, and we're locked down, Peter. God, I bet you I could find, just with a little research on the internet, more than two cases of diseases that kill people that are rife in New South Wales. And everybody's ignoring them.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, there's been actually a few articles recently on some of the mosquito-borne viruses, Zika and a couple of others, and about the effects of them. And they're devastating effects, on pregnant women. But, what are we doing about it? Just writing press articles about it and saying, gee, what a tragedy it is that so many people are having, babies with severe birth defects or miscarriages because of Zika, and we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on coronavirus. It just doesn't make any sense at all.
That's for sure. Let's hope they get it right, finally.
They never will. If you're going to shut the province down for two cases, Peter, shut the state down for two cases, and we did get as high as, I think, 18 or something, but we were mostly around 10 or 12. That's a barely one per million people, Peter. Now we had two cases or five the day before, I think, or seven or nine or something, and two cases yesterday. I mean, we're talking about the odds of running into somebody that's got the virus is much, much less than the odds of running into somebody that won the lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, Victoria, you know, we don't like to keep bashing them, but we predicted months and months and months ago that Victoria was going to be a real issue in Australia and Australia's issue, which we said way back in March. And I see now in the paper that they've tracked this commission they're having tracked the current outbreak to a family of four that was in quarantine. 90% of all cases of this outbreak. Now, if you had the group in quarantine,
how did it get out?
Well, exactly, very poor. And the army says that they offered help, and the government there says they didn't. And you know, I don't care who it is, fire them all, Peter. That you know, if you've got a contained disease, and you let it get loose in the public, then heads should roll.
Definitely.
You know, it's just stupid. So, and not only should it roll, that person or those people are responsible for killing probably 150 people.
That's right.
And chronic illnesses for a lot of other people. I mean, it's like a game. You know, gee, we can do this as long as we don't get caught. It's like those two stupid women in Western Australia flew from wherever the heck they flew from into Perth, and they didn't go in. They were supposed to be in quarantine. They went to a party instead.
Yeah.
You know, and they're in court now, and they're being charged, and so they should be.
I don't know, mate. Do you bang heads together, or what do to make these people pay attention?
Yeah, they say, well, not me, you know. I don't have it. It's not me.
Yeah.
I'm not the cause of the problem. So, you know, and of course, sometimes they are the cause of the problem, and there's where the problem comes from. So what the heck can you do? And I see the U.S. is down about a third from their peak, and they're slowly going down over the last month, which, you know, that's one of the driving forces of the world's economy. So if we want to get the world economy fixed, we've got to get the U.S. fixed. And then at least the economy will start to flow. China, of course, is behaving like a recalcitrant child. They're now attacking Australia's wine industry.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I don't know why Australia allows itself to be so dependent on China and Chinese trade. They use it as a weapon all the time. This is not the first time. And, I mean, I'm not even talking about the one with the crops and barley and all the other. They do it all the time.
Right.
And so, you know, I think Australia made a good strategic move turning to India. India is an emerging economy. They're buying more Australian products, grain and wheat and, you know, our produce. They have to feed their people as well. They're, you know, the average wealth in India is improving. It hasn't improved as much as China yet, but it's definitely improving. So I think you have to try and form your relationships with a stable democracy, Peter, which China obviously isn't. So they might be stable, but it's because of, you know, fear in their citizens more than anything else. And they can chop and change at will. You know, we don't like this country, so we're gonna punish them. We're not gonna buy their stuff.
Yeah,
so.
We'll chuck a tantrum.
Well, of course, they're not winning that one with the United States. You know, you got to hand Trump the credit for it. He said, look, you know, we put up with this for, you know, 30, 50 years. We're not going to put up with it any longer. He whacked tariffs on everything, punished them for this, punished them for that. You know, technology, stealing technology, which is, you know, what they do. They send hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people overseas to do advanced degrees. And to get jobs in places like Microsoft and Apple and that, and then they go home after 10 years. You know, and what do you think they do when they get back to China?
Yeah, well, they're definitely not mixing their apples.
Yeah, you know, they're working on apples, not oranges, Peter.
Yeah, true. We might have to squeeze them into submission.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's the best line I can think of.
Let them do their thing, Peter. They do what they want to do anyway. Why do you have to get yourself into a position to be dependent on them?
Yeah, true.
You know, Just don't overproduce, which is one of Australia's problems. See, we have no manufacturing sector anymore, Peter. We priced ourselves out of the world market everywhere. Automobile manufacturing, minerals, you know, metal producing, aluminum, steel, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. We can't make anything cheap enough to sell it anywhere in the world. Our wages are too high, relatively speaking, and our productivity is down near the bottom of the pack. We don't work hard, Peter.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of people that don't work hard.
Yeah. Well, and so we're basically a banana republic with the benefit of having a very large country that has minerals, and we can dig them up and sell them, and a small population. We don't have any more minerals than the U.S. does, or Canada, and Canada's got the same benefit as Australia, but we've got way less people to spread that wealth over. And at some stage, you would expect that the coal's, of course, on the way out very quickly now, actually. I think coal's, 50 years we're done coal in totally, except for steel and, you know, specialized manufacturing. But it might be a lot sooner, Peter, unless this coronavirus effect goes away. And people are learning how to live without a big article, research article in the journals this week is about if 25% of the cars in the United States were electric, they would have saved $17 billion last year.
Heavens.
And if 70% were electric, sorry, if 75% were electric, they would have saved $70 billion. In energy costs and pollution, etc. But here's the other thing is that would have saved millions of lives because, the pollution's killing us off at a rapid rate.
Yep.
We did that show, I think it was 80 billion particulates of pollution in the average human body, Peter, in everywhere, in your brain, your bones, your muscles. You carry around 80 billion pieces of pollution. You're a walking pollution thing, Peter. Eh? Yeah. So that's...
Here I come.
Look out for me. The pollution man. Yeah. So I think the world, if we don't get the vaccine within the next year or so, the world's going to change. We're not doing a lot of trading right now, Peter. We're still trading. We're still shipping stuff because that doesn't ship the... virus, but the thing is that we're not dependent on oil and gas. We're not traveling. We're staying at home. So it's a change in lifestyle if the vaccine doesn't come soon.
Well, they're saying around about Christmas time, I believe.
Yeah. Well, it's, as I said, if it goes on for a couple of years, it might become permanent, and it could be good.
Yeah.
If we're becoming too interdependent.
So what's it going to be? Merry Christmas. Ouch.
Yeah, I used to drive to California every year when we lived in Vancouver. We used to go down there, had a project we were working on in Northern California. Once a year, I used to fly down for that, spent a lot of time in California. But once a year, I used to drive for a couple of weeks and take the family. And sometimes we used to drive down the Oregon coast, of course, with the coastal mountains there. Huge logging area, Washington, Oregon, there in the United States. And driving down the coastal highway there, Peter, and these massive logging trucks, they've got these huge logs, barreling along the highway in front of you and behind you everywhere. But here's the point, Peter, the same number of trucks were going the other way, carrying the same loads.
Yeah, you sort of think, am I seeing double or what's going on here?
Yeah, it's called free enterprise, Peter. The guy down south selling his lumber to the mill up north, and the guys up north are selling their lumber to the mill down south.
I know it's nice to move things around, but that's on the point of being totally ridiculous.
Well, it is, and that's what happens, of course, in a totally free economy, that those types of things happen, and then it's the benefit, but I sometimes look at the trade going backwards and forwards between countries and shake my head, wonder what the heck's going on, selling each other the same things, Peter.
Yep, and yet we don't get any of that action at all.
Yeah, so, Anyway, a couple of interesting things, Peter. If you've been diagnosed as ADHD as a child, you are 45% more likely to have a motor accident when you get your driver's license and become an adult.
Really?
Yeah, and so here's the point. The insurance companies charge young drivers a higher premium because they're more likely to have an accident. Is it legal for them to charge somebody that has a medical disability a higher premium because statistics show they're going to cause nearly 50% more accidents?
What they do, chuck tantrums or something?
Yeah. It just, that's the statistic that came out. It was another interesting one, Peter. If you live along a busy road, you are considerably more likely to be overweight and become obese.
How does that work?
Yeah, makes you wonder. But anyway, I lost the article, actually. I was looking for it just before we went on the air. Just pollution, again, Peter, we've done so many things, and this could be noise pollution as well, but so many articles we've done recently on pollution and the effect of health. And of course, even, you know, the experts now have said that the world population is going to peak in less than 100 years, 50 to 75 years, I think it was, and it's going to start going down because we're becoming infertile, which we've said many, many times. Fertility has dropped 50% in the last 80 years in the world, and of course going to continue to drop, Peter. Many a movie's been made about the fact of the last fertile man, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's so early in the morning, too.
Yeah, it'll be the arachnids next time, Peter. The spiders, the reptiles ruled the world, and the mammals. And now it'll be the spiders' turn next, I guess. They'll be running around in Volkswagen Beetles.
Dear, dear.
Yeah.
Matey, we've got to get some people to get some of your beautiful wine.
Yes, they can call us here at the Vineyard. We're still open and operating. We have people coming and going here. The government's still got a regulation. You can't have more than 10 people on a bus. But we have a very large area. We separate people. Lots of social distancing, Peter, so no problem. If they come together in a bus, they don't need to social distance here. They can if they wish. There's plenty of room. But if they're living in the same house and come in the same bus, I don't think there's much we can do here in the fresh air that's going to affect them, Peter.
No, that's true. And those beautiful trees just outside the window there where we normally set up the outside broadcast.
Yes.
And when we can do it.
Yeah, and it's an evergreen type because it's a fig, so it doesn't lose its leaves. So it's quite nice there. But the beautiful silk tree, of course, hasn't started to bloom yet. It's quite a late bloomer, but we've been tasting outside, Peter. Absolutely beautiful out there. You can get partially in the sun, partially in the shade, or fully either way, whatever you like. And we've had quite a few people still, but we lost a lot of cancellation, people through cancellations because of the limit of size, Peter.
They can
only bring 10 people. And when a club comes, you know, an organic club or a wine club or something, it's just too much cost for them not to have a 20-seater or a 22-seater bus. You know what I mean? They can't have two buses. So it's a problem. I mean, the governments, they don't understand. You know, they get their wages, they're protected, they're not affected by the coronavirus, they're not giving away their money, they're giving away people's money that don't have it, like businessmen, people that are unemployed. They're giving all that money away, Peter. There's two economies, and unfortunately, those that are in the second economy are out of work and bankrupt.
That's right. And they can't buy anything.
And those that work for government and pseudo-government and service industries and that, shut everything down, you know, protect us. If you're a non-productive member and government is about the most non-productive member of society you can get, your wages come from the people that you're screwing around with and making unemployed and bankrupting their businesses. That's who pays you.
Yeah. Mm. Unbelievable, isn't it? Mate, your web address, your phone number.
Yeah, acellawines.com.au, Peter, or call us here at the Vineyard, or come by and see us. You know, we're happy to see anybody.
All right, mate. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, talk to you next week, Peter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Yeah, Jeff from Acella Wine. You've got that address. Don't sit there. Do something.